Thank you for joining us today on the Rescue Revive Gospel Show for 25 minutes of gospel-centered conversation. I'm your host, Pastor John Soza, filling in for our beloved Pastor Dominic DeNisi. And in studio today, we have with us a special guest, Pastor Tony Saxton. How are you doing, Pastor Tony?
I'm doing great.
Are you ready for this interview?
I hope so.
All right, I got to start off with the first question. Pastor Dominic told me to ask you the first question. Your nickname is Chocolate Thunder. I have a feeling I know why they call you Chocolate Thunder, but in your own vernacular, how'd you get this nickname, Chocolate Thunder?
Well, to be honest with you, I got it from Daryl Dawkins, a basketball player, wow. Back in, some time ago. He played with the Philadelphia 76ers. Mm-hmm. But I don't play ball like that. I'm pretty good. I played with his brother, but I didn't play with him. But anyhow, I've got a deep voice.
I noticed.
And I like chocolate.
Okay.
And as my preaching nickname was Chocolate Thunder. Huh. Now, a lot of the dark-skinned brothers, they took offense to that because they don't think I'm dark enough to be chocolate. But I tell them that my wife prefers milk chocolate over dark chocolate.
Amen, amen.
And that's true. Amen.
I guess
so. I've been called Pastor Chocolate Thunder. I use that as a handle when I preach to, especially the young kids, because I think they like the name better than they do my messages.
Amen. What's in a name, said Shakespeare. Amen. I guess I'm vanilla, right? Vanilla lightning?
Or either that or white lightning.
Okay, we'll take that.
Okay.
All right, so anyhow, you say you're really an evangelist with a pastor's heart, is how I've heard you describe before. An evangelist with a pastor's heart. Can you explain what this means to you?
Well, I was a pastor for 22 years over on Avenue D, right next to the Recreation Center. And when I was a pastor, I had always had a heart for evangelizing. And I had a heart to go outside of the four walls. Mm-hmm. So much so that a couple of my parishioners, when I pastored, they said, we think that you like outdoors better than we do the people indoors. I said, well, look, come and follow me. Amen.
Yeah.
And so after 22 years, it became very apparent to me and other people that I needed to go into evangelism. Yeah. And after 22 years, I surrendered and I made that transition. And to be honest with you, I really enjoy being I'm more at peace as an evangelist as opposed to being a pastor. Now, when I was a pastor, as I said earlier, I had the heart of an evangelist, but now I'm an evangelist with the heart of a pastor.
That's great. That's great. You know, it's kind of similar to my story. I was a pastor in the four walls for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
and we'd go down to Cleveland, Ohio all the time and feed the homeless and evangelize. And I remember down there by myself one night. I went down all alone, and I remember crossing the street near West 25th Street, and I just felt the Lord said, man, I belong out here in the streets.
Amen.
And to make a long story short, I ended up with the Salvation Army, and I'm out there on the streets a whole lot more. So, amen, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
All right. So you mentioned you grew up on Avenue D. That's not Nirvana, right? Avenue D you grew up on. Is that true?
Well, actually, I grew up on the west side of Rochester, born and raised in Rochester, New York. And I spent the majority of my life over on the west side until I went to the Navy.
Oh,
and then when I got out of the Navy, I started living over on off of Joseph Avenue.
Okay.
And when the Lord called me into the pastorate, I started preaching over on Avenue D.
Oh, okay.
So Avenue D had become a big part of my life. As a matter of fact, I still live in that area.
Yes.
I live off of Conkey Avenue on Dorbeth Road. And, you know, I refuse to leave. The house is paid for. I've been over there for 40 years.
Nice.
And I refuse to, from a financial standpoint, go out somewhere where I'm going to pay $5,000 or $6,000 a year for taxes.
Right, right.
But more importantly, that's where God has called me. That's where God wants me to be. And I just have a passion for that area because it's a God-given passion.
Amen. It looked like I just pulled into your driveway. It looked like you have a nice house. I'd love your front porch. I'd love to sit on my front porch with my Bible. So ministering on Avenue D, how's that kind of that experience kind of shaped you as a man of God?
Well, I witnessed a lot of violence and a lot of, mainly, the things that touched me the most were I saw a person get shot 9 times. I officiated a service for a young man that was highly publicized. He got killed. Hmm. And it just, I guess, it made me burdened for people's lives primarily, and primarily for folks who live very violent lives, and it resulted in people being murdered and being a witness of that. I don't know if I did a good job answering that
question. Yeah, well, I can help you, too, with because I heard your testimony before, and I know you said you were looking out your bathroom window, and you saw this 18-year-old boy who was a neighbor of yours get shot 9 times.
Exactly.
And then when I've heard the stories that you were actually comforting this boy, and he was saying, Pastor, I'm dying, and you're there ministering to this boy, and then he blacked out, but then his mother came and prayed for him, and he stayed alive, right?
He came back.
After being shot 9 times. That's pretty good. Maybe he's a cat. Cat has 9 lives, right? Know. And I also remember you telling a story about your 45-year-old nephew was shot and killed, right? Fighting over a woman?
Yeah.
It's always the women.
Over at the S&T Lounge a couple of years ago in August. That was highly publicized as well.
Wow, yeah. So you see violence out there, and it does shape your heart.
It does. There's no question.
I mean, in Rochester, I'm passing right downtown Rochester. There's always things going on. And
well, one of the reasons why, brother, I gravitate towards that kind of lifestyle was because of how I was raised. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother died when I was 6 years old, and there was 8 of us that was left behind. And we didn't really have a father figure around to help take care of. Matter of fact, when my mother died, the person that was the male figure that we had, he kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. And my sister took over, and eventually my aunt took over the family, and she had a blended family, 17 kids at one time.
In one house?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so fortunately now I look back and I see how God used that to shape my life, because I lived in 10 different family settings. Wow. One family setting 4 different times. But I began to realize after I matured a little bit in the Lord that God in His providence was taking care of me through all these families.
Amen.
And to this day, there's a question about who my biological father is, and it doesn't bother me at all, not the least bit, because I know who my heavenly father
Amen.
Is.
That's right. Amen. Yes. So, you know, you mentioned God uses our past. You know, our past, they say, is not our potential, but God uses our past to shape us, to make us what He wants us to be. So that's why God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him. So even our past, the things we've done in the past, I'm thinking about writing a book about being the biggest, God's biggest loser, because I have a lot of places where I tried to become joined the National Guard. I was 1 pound underweight. I tried to join the firemen. I was 1 step short of passing the test. I even flunked speech class, believe it or not. But God has used all these things where it looked like I was a failure and a loser to make me into the man I was. So you had a crazy childhood, you know, 17 kids and all these different places, but God uses that, Amen. Our past, not just for you, not just for me, but for anybody who's out there listening, amen. God can use our past, even our failures and our mistakes, to shape us into who He wants us to be.
Brother, even to this day, I've got a burden, a heart for young people. And I equate that back to when I was a child. It's almost like I'm stuck in that 6-year-old mindset when I consider my losing my mother and everything, and my heart really breaks for a lot of kids that who are exposed to or experience what we might consider broken homes. And it goes without number nowadays. There's so many people that are broken.
Right.
But I can relate to people, you know, as a result of the way that I lived.
Yeah, God takes our experiences. I spoke at their rehab last night, you know, drug and alcohol rehab. I speak to twice a month. And I abused alcohol until I was 27. Praise God, I got saved at 27. Haven't touched it really since, 38 years. But I wouldn't be able to go and speak to these guys with the authority that I believe I have.
Right.
And because I have the experience, I can go in and say, hey, I abused alcohol for 12 years, but I haven't touched it in 38 years. If God can do that for me, He can do that for you. So even God didn't want me drinking alcohol back then, abusing it, but He said, hey, you did it, now I'm going to use that abuse. I'm going to use it to minister to people.
I want to coin a phrase.
Okay.
The guys at my age, you'll recognize this. The phrase I want to coin is this one. No brag, just facts. You remember Yul Brynner?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yul Brynner. Yeah.
The point I want to make is this. I'm not bragging, but I tried just about every drug they had out there.
Yeah.
You know, especially being in the Navy. I was in the Navy, so I tried drugs from all over the world.
Wow.
But the one drug that I never tried was heroin.
Thank God.
That was because of my brother. You know, heroin pretty much had a lot to do with one of my oldest brother's death. Yeah. And he told me when I was 16, he said, Anthony, he said, listen, if I tell you to stay away from this heroin, he said, you're going to probably get inquisitive, you're going to try it. Huh. He said, but just look at me.
Wow. Yeah.
He said, I want to teach you a life lesson. He said, man, listen, look at me. He said, why do you think they call it hell? And I never forgot that. That was the one drug that I never tried.
God,
I did acid, I did Quaaludes, I did everything in the Navy, you know, but I didn't do the heroin. Ultimately, he had a brain aneurysm as a result of crack cocaine.
Yeah, I've lost some good friends, man, doing heroin. It's a terrible thing out there. As you said, just look at me, is what your brother said.
Right.
We've been going down to Lyle Avenue late this last week, and just looking at the people, my heart breaks. It's driving
it does,
down and seeing these people, and they look
deformed.
Oh, my goodness. So if you're out there listening, you're thinking about doing drugs and alcohol, man, just take it from Big Tony. Chocolate Thunder.
All right.
And what'd you call me? Vanilla something? Take it from us, man. Don't touch it. Amen.
Yeah,
wisdom looks down the road.
That's right.
Amen. All right, Pastor. So you were a pastor at, I think, Charity Bible Baptist on Avenue D.
Yes, sir.
A pastor there for how long were you a pastor there for?
22 years.
Wow. 22 years. And so tell us about your experience there on Avenue D pastoring. You probably met a lot of characters.
Well, I tell you, once again, the people that I was most burdened for were the young people. And so we used to have a lot of outreaches in that particular area. As a matter of fact, we became famous for being the church that started the whole outreach perspective that you see that going on around in the city even today. And there were times that we'd have, every year we'd had what we call a Celebration of Life Festival.
Okay.
And we used to petition at least 30 streets in that area,
pass out
flyers and everything. And there was one time when we had a basketball tournament for the kids, along with the bounce houses and so on and so forth at that particular time. And we had 40 different teams.
Wow.
You know, you're hard-pressed to find anybody playing basketball nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we even had a basketball tournament on from Conkey Avenue to Harris Street. We lined up the hoops just like they did downtown when they had the Teddy T tournaments.
Uh-huh.
And I worked with a pastor, a renowned pastor, if I could say that. His name was Pastor Mike Peace.
Oh, I know. I've heard of him.
And
I heard good things about him.
You heard, I tell you what, he's very, very renowned for good reason. He's still going on it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, amen.
But anyhow, you know, the point I'm trying to make is we reached out to a lot of young people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once, brother, when I was studying this course called Experiencing God. And it was one of the pastor, I call them gurus, you know, the pastor that a lot of people follow.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is, I can't think of his name right now. But he said this, if you want to look and see how God, if you're in God's will, look over the course of your life and see the areas that God used you more prominently. And so I took his advice, and I looked back over my life, my spiritual life, and I remember when I was, before I became a pastor, I was a bus captain over at a church on Hudson Avenue. It was called Calvary Bible Baptist Church.
Okay.
And we used to have a bus ministry. We picked up kids and take them to church.
God bless you.
And I mean, it got to a place where there was one time we had 115 kids on the bus. Well, you could do that before they had
15. On one bus?
Well, actually, we went on two different buses.
Okay.
But back then, you could have kids sitting on the back of the seats, man, and everything before they had the DOT.
I had kids in the back of pickup trucks, yeah, back then, right?
And so, as far as I'm concerned, that was the greatest ministry that I've ever been involved with.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so as I look back over the course of my life to try to find out where God used me best, more predominantly, it's always been with young people. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't relate to older folks as well.
Right, right.
You know, I just love people.
Amen.
You know, I found in the ministry that, you know, God wants us to love Him, love people, serve others in love, and to tell everyone about God's love. And that's kind of like the motto that I try to live by. You know, what I learned in the pastorate is it's kind of spelled out in the logo that I use, and it's called Putting Feet on Charity. Charity being the love of God.
Amen.
You know, it's equivalent to the whole concept of agape love. Now, agape is a Greek word for the highest form of love.
Amen.
Well, charity basically comes from a Latin word, because I don't know Greek or Latin. I just, you know, just parroting what someone else had said.
Yeah.
And I found to be true. That charity is equivalent to the whole perspective of agape love, and I want to be found. To be said and made that I put feet on charity. That's the way I try to characterize our ministry as I got older and older in the Lord. That was our vision. It's still our vision.
Amen. Yeah, I have right before me, you have coming up at the end of August, another celebration of life, right? Is that something you plan on doing maybe here? Or?
Well, we determined that we don't really have enough time to plan for that, so we had to change our plans.
All right, I'll put that away then.
But it'll be something equivalent to that, you know, with at the what we're going to do, is, Lord willing, is have a vacation Bible school. Mm-hmm. And instead of doing the festival, because we're having trouble with the city, getting it permitted for the city because we applied too late.
Okay.
Another reason is because it's just too aggressive, I think, about, you know, to do it so soon. So what we'll do is we'll have a picnic and invite the parents to join us.
Okay.
And we'll have games like kickball and maybe... Yeah, three-legged race. We're trying to make it something that would be considered, you know, a family fun fellowship.
All right. Sounds great. So I also know you've been married about 48 years, which is amazing.
If you were to ask my wife, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. If you were to ask my wife how long we've been together, she said, listen, I've been with this rascal. I've been married to this rascal for 48 years, but I've been with him for 50.
Wow, that's great. I asked my wife the other day, I said, will you love me when I'm old and ugly? She said she already does. So, you know, but she stuck with me. So 48 years, you said you have 4 children and 19 grandchildren. God bless you. So 48 years of marriage. What is the secret? Your secret to a long-lasting marriage, Pastor Tony?
Well, it's taken me long enough to find out the secret. Yes. You know, I thought at one time it was just to say, come to the place where you say, yes, dear, even when you don't mean it. Amen?
Yes, dear.
But more importantly, to pray and ask God, give me grace to love my wife the way he loves me and the way he loves her.
Amen.
Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
You know, the unconditional love, it works, brother.
Yeah, I've been married almost 37 years. And my wife's been happy 5 of those.
No,
but I just see our hearts, we just keep knitting together. And
Amen.
It's like, she'll say something. I was going to say the same thing. Or we'll just speak the same thing at the same time or the same thoughts. It's like the two shall become one. It's scriptural and it really happens. But thank God, I'm devoted to Christ. It's my devotion to Jesus that keeps me trying to be a good husband.
The bonus for us is this. She's a really beautiful lady. I mean, physically beautiful. If you were to see, you'd think she was my daughter, bro. A lot of people think she's my daughter.
A lot of people think my wife's my daughter, too.
Yeah, I call her brown sugar. But I've got more than one name for her. I call her brown sugar when she's sweet. Then I call her Sugar Ray Leonard when she's not so sweet. I think every woman's got a little Sugar Ray in them.
I plead the fifth.
And then we were doing some shadow boxing one day. We're kidding around. And I said, you know, I got you. I'm Muhammad Ali. I fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. She said, listen, I'm Sugar Ray. I got you because you're old and you got Parkinson's. And so she fakes like she's going to throw me a right cross.
Oh, boy.
And she acted as though she kicked me. And she said,
she's
boy,
feisty.
Anytime you fight with a woman, you better don't look at the fist. You better watch the feet.
We should have brought her with us. That might have made an interesting show. Amen. You know, I used to say I float like a butterfly and sting like one, too. But and Sugar Ray Leonard, actually, he said, believe it or not, he said, my gift happens to be beating people up. That's what he thought his gift from God was, beating people up. But anyhow, praise the Lord for that. So let's see here. So tell us about a ministry you created, I believe, and passionate about, called Gladiators Ministry. Is that still current? Am I throwing you?
No. The reason why I've got such a passion for the ministry because of what it entails. The God's Gladiators Ministry is a ministry that I started when I was a senior pastor at Charity, primarily for our young men.
Okay.
It was exclusively for young men, for discipleship, for the men in our church.
Right, right.
And it was working quite well. But then as I started working with the kids, young people outside of the church, I realized that We didn't have an alternative for them. Ironically, we had a lot of kids making professions of faith at our tournaments and anytime we witnessed to them, mm-hmm. but we didn't have an alternative for them. And they were reluctant. A lot of them were reluctant to come to church because of peer pressure and whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of them were influenced more by the gangs that were on the corner of Amity and Conkey. Mm-hmm. And that's when the gangs were pretty prevalent back then.
Yeah.
They probably still are, but I don't notice them as much, not being a pastor now.
Right, right.
And we were losing a lot of kids to the gangs.
Yeah.
And so I determined that I was going to go get them. Right. And so I joined the recreation center, which is right next door.
Okay.
And one thing that I did is I became a literacy reading program manager.
Oh.
Now, I had trouble reading myself, but
yeah.
I figured I could at least
makes
use that as a tool,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
to
right.
draw them in. And then I began to think, I said, you know, why don't we go ahead and adapt the Gladiators ministry, you know, for the men in the street, the young men outside of the church.
Right, right.
And I was influenced by the original Boys and Girl Scouts.
Okay.
I was influenced by this movie, ironically, it's called Gridiron Gang.
Huh, okay.
And it's about, it's a true story. It was was about a guy who he was in industry, and industry meaning, what industry is, I don't know if I can define it well enough. It's like a prison for youth.
Oh, right, right, right.
And
right.
so anyhow, to influence the kids to change their lives around and to lead them to Christ, he started a football team.
Okay.
Many of the people in our audience are probably familiar with it,
yeah.
some older folks like me. But anyhow, the movie inspired me to do something with these kids that was similar. You know, if you want to help someone change their lives, then you got to get down there with them. Amen. And you got to allow them to become a part of their lives. And it worked pretty well for him.
Okay.
Now, there's another ministry that inspired me. See, I borrow a lot of stuff from some people.
We all borrow from each other. That's right.
The Bethel Express, that was led by Michael Peace. That was a very
Express.
Successful youth ministry.
Okay.
And another ministry that took an inspiration from, it's called The Forge. And it's a movie that just came out recently, a couple of years ago. With Eddie, what's his name? The guy that wrote or did Conquerors I know I'm belaboring this point, and maybe you might have to edit here, brother. But anyhow, the point I'm trying to make is this: is we had to have a ministry that the kids could relate to.
Right, right.
And so we adapted the Gladiators ministry. We adapted the Gladiators ministry to really be a ministry that we could use to give an alternative to the kids for gang life, because I realized that the kids are looking for family, and they found it in the gangs.
Right, right.
You know, and so we wanted to provide an alternative, and so that's what we did.
Right.
And it would take me a while to, matter of fact, why don't I say this? If anybody's interested in the Gladiators ministry, there's a podcast out now. The podcast is called Pastoral Thoughts.
Pastoral Thoughts?
Pastoral Thoughts. And the title of it is God's Gladiators Ministry. And that gives you some detailed information about what the ministry entails.
Okay.
But it's a ministry that's designed to be an alternative for primarily for young men. Who are victimized basically by the devil.
Right, right.
I should say this, is that it was birthed from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, about the armor of God.
And be strong in the Lord, right, right.
Exactly.
Amen. Well, hey, we only got a few minutes left. We got to hear that golden voice. That's when I first met you. You're out there at Liberty Pole singing. So you got a song for us you want to sing?
Yeah, but you have to repeat after me.
Oh, boy, it's going to... Everybody's going to shut off.
This is a song that I borrowed the... The tune for the song, but the words, you know, we borrow from Scripture.
All right.
And it goes like this. We start with a cadence. Your left, your left, your left, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Repeat after me. I'm a gladiator.
I'm a gladiator.
In the army of the Lord.
In the army of the Lord.
I'm a gladiator.
I'm a gladiator.
In the army.
In the army.
I've got his war clothes on.
I got his war clothes on.
And I'm gonna keep them on.
I'm gonna keep them on.
I got his belt of truth.
I got his belt of truth.
And his breastplate too.
And his breastplate too.
Of righteousness.
Of righteousness.
I've got his shoes on my feet.
I got his shoes on my feet.
Of the gospel of peace.
Of the gospel of peace.
And the sword of the Spirit.
And the sword of the Spirit.
Which is the word of God.
Which is the word of God.
I got his helmet on.
I got his helmet on. You got 5 seconds left. Amen.
We'll finish the song.
Amen. Later. That's the gospel right there. I appreciate it, Pastor Tony. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you. And thank you for listening to the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. Again, this is Pastor John Sosa saying, may God bless you richly. Let us rescue the lost and revive the saved. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.